everyone. It's Beverly Hallberg. Welcome to a special mini-series of the She Thinks podcast, where Julie Gunlock will be sitting down with four Kappa Kappa Gamma plaintiffs and Westenbrook versus Kappa Kappa Gamma to dive into their fight to preserve female-only spaces. Independent Women's Law Center is the lead counsel on this case, and oral arguments will be heard before the 10th Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals on May 14th. Four of the plaintiffs, now ambassador at Independent Women's Forum, join She Thinks to share their respective stories as they look to hold Kappa to the sisterhood promised to them. Enjoy.
Hey, everyone. As Beverly said, I am Julie Gunlock, and today I'm going to be talking with Allie Kogan, a Kappa Kappa Gamma alumni and one of the plaintiffs in the Westenbrook versus Kappa Kappa Gamma lawsuit. Thanks for coming on today, Allie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Allie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm kind of all over the place. I grew up moving around a lot, mostly in the South. I graduated high school in North Carolina, and then from there, I was trying to figure out where I wanted to go to college, and I just kind of landed on Wyoming. My parents went to school there, and so it was a little cheaper than staying in state, and I figured it was about time I had a new adventure, and I just felt this strong pull to go halfway across the country for college. And so that's how I ended up in Wyoming, and I got a degree in agricultural business with a concentration in farm and ranch management. And now post-graduation, I'm working for a equipment company, and I sell farm equipment, tractors, and all of that good stuff.
That is awesome. And I'm sure that isn't, maybe it's changing, but are there a lot of women in that industry?
No, no, there's not. It's definitely been a very large change going from a sorority house to a very male dominated field, but it's been great. So
I feel like that's a whole different podcast. We have to have you come back and talk about that, because that really is interesting and interesting to our audience. But I want to focus on this lawsuit. And I know that IW has done a lot of work. The Law Center in particular, obviously, has done a lot of work on this issue. And there's a lot of information on that website. But if you could just quickly give us a quick overview of the lawsuit and where it stands today.
Yeah, so the lawsuit, we decided to bring it just because we knew that it was not right to have men in our sorority. And we needed to make that change and preserve the sorority for future generations. And so as it stands right now, it was previously dropped in a lower court. And so we are refiling in the appellate court. So that will be, the hearing will be May 14th in Denver at 9 a.m. at the courthouse. And so we're hoping for a lot of people to go. I'm very excited for it. I think it will be a good day.
Yes, and we will be watching closely, of course. You know, Allie, you just graduated from college, but you were just there. And, you know, today we see a lot of politically active kids on campus, particularly right now with some of the protests we're seeing on campus related to the situation in the Middle East. When you were in college, and particularly before all this happened, did you see yourself as politically active? Were you one of those kids that was eager to go to marches and sit-ins and encampments? Was that you?
No, ma'am, it was not. I've never been very political at all. I obviously have my viewpoints, but I've never been very outspoken on it. I don't like conflict, and I don't like arguing with people. So I just kind of kept it to myself. And this issue, I don't believe is political. I think it's common sense and what's right and what's wrong. But I never saw myself being involved in politics or standing up for women's rights or advocating for women at all. I'm not a public speaker. I never have been. I failed public speaking in college the first time. So it's definitely been a whirlwind, but no, it's never really been something I've been a huge part of.
And you say you're not particularly politically active, but when this happened, and essentially for those who don't know, your sorority allowed a male into your sorority, which left a lot of the members feeling very concerned, unsafe. And when they expressed that, they were shamed. They were told that they had the problem. I just want to kind of give people a sense of how that changed you as someone who didn't see themselves as particularly political. Then this happens. And I know that you don't view it, and I don't view it as a political issue. I view it as a safety issue, but certainly politics have gotten involved in this, and it is a politically weighty issue. How did that change you suddenly when you were being forced to share what had previously been a safe female-only space with a male, and if I can say, a very large male who exhibited some very concerning behaviors.
There was definitely a huge change. Before the situation happened, our house was so close. We're a smaller chapter. And so all of the girls were very close. There was not a single girl in the house that I had a problem with. And we were all just happy as could be. We all got along. And then the situation happened. And so when some of us started to speak out and say, hey, I'm uncomfortable with this. Hey, like, my dad's not okay with me being a man. That's part of the reason why I live in a sorority. There's a select few girls in the house who were very for the situation. And they kind of started ruling the roost a little bit, I guess, and made it very clear.
Well, there was bullying and there was intimidation and there was name calling. And there was this idea that you were somehow transphobe and had a problem. And that is bullying. And that is a way of sort of shaming people into compliance and into silence, but you didn't want to stay silent. And one interesting thing that I think is really interesting here is you were originally anonymous in this lawsuit, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
But a judge said, if you want to go forward, your names have to be revealed. What was it like to make that decision?
It was really hard because I knew that this was something that I needed to fight for and that I wanted to fight for. But being a senior in college about to graduate, I was like, okay, I'm starting my life. I'm starting a career. I don't, like, how is the future employer going to look at me if I've got my name plastered all over something so complicated, you know? And so I was like, okay, well, I don't know what to do. And I took a long time to think about it. Do I still want to be a part of this? You know, is this going to ruin my future? And I decided, well, what's the world going to look like if I don't do this? You know, what about my sister's going to have a baby girl here in the next month? What is my niece going to do? You know, like all of these different things. And I have a cousin who's in a sorority in Kansas. And like all of these women deserve to have the same experiences I had before this situation happened. And so it was honestly scarier to me to see what would happen if I didn't stand up for this than what would happen to me if I did stand up for it.
Well, Allie, we love it when pets join podcasts. I've got my dog in the background. So hello to your sweet, beautiful, beautiful cat there.
Thank you.
I'd like to talk to you also. We touched on some of the intimidation you felt within the house and some of the more vocal sorority sisters who wanted to allow this male into the sorority. But I'd like you to touch on what the national organization of Kappa Kappa Gamma did and how they reacted and how they too had a campaign of intimidation against you.
I mean, we just saw bullying basically from all sides. We were standing up saying, we're not okay with this. We're uncomfortable. And we went to our headquarters and said, hey, we're your members and we're uncomfortable and you're supposed to value how we feel. And it was basically, well, here's a booklet on educating yourself on proper pronouns and how to deal with all of this and make sure that you're educated, because obviously I'm uneducated for feeling uncomfortable. And that's just the way it was. And we were told, if you don't like it, you should drop. And so that just has never sat right with me.
You know, some of the, you dealt with this your senior year. And so did some of the women, the very vocal women who wanted to admit this male student into the sorority. Many of the most vocal women who, again, wanted to vote to admit this male were also seniors. And so they didn't have to deal with it. They didn't have to return to campus and live in a house with this male. It's like they voted this. They did this sort of virtue signaling because they knew they were out of there. Tell me about your reaction to that. Tell me about how you felt knowing that these young women were making a decision that would hurt their other sorority, their younger sorority sisters. You mentioned that you're about to have, and your sister's about to have a baby, a little girl. You obviously feel that it's important to stand up for younger generations. When you saw them doing that, really not caring about the younger generation of sorority sisters who would have to deal with this male student, who would have to live with this male among them, how did that make you feel?
I was really shocked. And I just remember that whole day thinking, why am I voting on this? This does not affect me in the next year. Why is my pledge class running the show? Why are we the ones making these decisions? And we are one of the bigger classes, or were during that time, meaning we had more people in our group in more way, sort of. So to watch my peers stand up and say, if you do not give this member or this person membership, then you're transphobic. You don't align with Kappa's values. You should not be here. There's no reason for you to not give this person membership. And if you don't, then you're just a hateful person. To see multiple people stand up and say something along those lines, it was very disappointing to see, especially because they were the older girls. You know, the younger girls do look up to us. And so to see them sit there and say that, and just look across the room and see all of the faces of the women just blank. They didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. I was so shocked. Looking back now, I wish I would have stood up and said something, but I was just so taken aback. I didn't even know what was happening.
You know, I always like to end conversations on a positive note, and we've just kind of heard the pretty devastating, you know, story about how your sorority sisters were really not standing up for the sisterhood, right? And not looking out for their sorority sisters. But tell us about some of the support you've gotten, not just within your sorority, among the alumni and among your fellow sorority sisters, but also nationally. What has the reaction been?
The support has been overwhelming. There's been, like you said, the alumni, they've all reached out to us. We have really close connections with them now, which is something I never really expected to have. And they've definitely taught me more about sisterhood in the past year than I did in my 3 years in the sorority before the situation happened. A lot of the girls in the house who aren't named on the lawsuit do support us, but privately, for fear of the things that I was scared of beforehand. And my family and friends support it. And then nationally, it has been a lot of support as well. I get emails and DMs on Instagram and Facebook and stuff of people just thanking me and saying how great they think it is, or reposting something that I've posted and saying, go check this out. This is what's happening. Like, support these girls, support our women, and all of these great things. There has been a few people who say some not so nice things, but you know, the only thing that they have to say is commenting on my appearance or my weight. And I'm like, well, okay, if that's the only bad thing you can say about me, then I guess I'm speaking on the right side.
That's right. And of course, you know, you have the full support of all of the women at IW. We are big, big fans of what you've done, how you've stood up, how brave you are. So you should know that we all send you the best wishes for some success in this lawsuit. Last question. Has this sort of, I don't know, some people get bit by the bug. Has this changed you in that you want to continue to work on this issue? You ever see politics or running for office or more media in your future? I'm just curious because I think episodes like this really change people and in some cases change the whole direction of their life. Do you see this as something that you'll continue to work for?
I definitely see this being something that I'm going to see through and keep fighting until what's right is what is happening in the world. I don't know how long that will be. And I don't plan on running for office, any kind of office. That's not my thing. I do love agriculture and I plan to stay in agriculture. But this is something that's so important to me that I think needs to be fought for. And if I'm not going to do it, then who is?
Well, as someone who has been in politics for a long time, I think you're very smart to stay out of it. And on the trajectory you're on. Allie, huge, huge joy talking to you. And we wish you all the best in this lawsuit.
Thank you so much.
And thank you all for joining us for this special episode of She Thinks Podcast. Before you go, the Independent Women's Forum wants you to know that we rely on the generosity of supporters like you. An investment in IWF fuels our efforts to enhance freedom, opportunity, and the well-being of all Americans. Please consider making a small or large donation by visiting iwf.org/donate. That's iwf.org/donate. Lastly, if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave us a rating or a review and share this episode so your friends can know where to find more She Thinks. From all of us here at IWF, thank you for watching.